Good evening. It's good to see everybody out tonight. We are going to be concluding the series of lessons that we began last week, last Sunday morning, and this will be the fourth and final lesson that we have within that context. And as we began this morning with part three of Attitudes for the New Year, we looked at the verse that we had as our context and decided that it could do two things for us. And tonight's verse is no different. We can learn from others, right? The things which you have heard and seen from me in the presence of many witnesses. So we're looking, right? Paul says you can look to me, you can look at me as an example of what it is that you are supposed to do. And then he says, in turn, you also need to entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And so, you know, we see this domino effect happening when it comes to the examples that we're looking at. We can look at these examples, and they're good examples, and we can look at them and say, okay, I need to practice what Paul is saying, or practice what these churches that we learned from last week, or the Old Testament characters that we looked at last week. We can look at those things and learn from them, but we need to practice them to the point that we can teach other people as well, so that they can be that example, and God's Word can go very quickly in that way. Not always are we going to have somebody walk up to us and say, hey, I would like to learn more about the Bible. Can you teach me? It's just not going to happen like that. Most of the time, they're going to see you in your everyday life and say, I want to be more like you. Why are you the way that you are? You're different from other people. How did you get that way? And we can say, aha, I'm glad that you asked. I'm just as sinful as anybody else, but let me tell you about my Savior. And so we can teach them in that way, and that's the way it's going to happen most of the time. People aren't just going to walk up to us and say, teach me about the Bible. They're going to say, I want to learn to become more like you because of what I've seen in you. And Paul addresses that to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We examined three of Paul's attitudes today. We looked at the fact that he tells the Corinthian brethren, I am willing to spend, meaning monetary spending, and be spent, meaning physically exhaust himself to the point that he doesn't require anything from the Corinthians. He just wants to teach them the gospel. He just wants them to learn and to teach others. And so he says, I'm willing to spend and be spent. Then we looked at Paul saying to the Romans, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jews first and also then to the Greeks. And then we saw him in several instances in Romans as well, here that talking about declaring the whole word of God to every place that he went to preach. He said he declared the whole word of God. He didn't leave anything back from them that was necessary to them to make the changes in their lives. And so tonight we just want to look at the last three of the attitudes that we're going to look at Paul. And we can have more. There are certainly more out there. And I was talking to Braden tonight. I said, I just need four more, and that would be eight. And that would be a gospel meeting for me on just attitudes that we need to have. And so they're in there. I'm not going to do them now, but maybe later we'll look at a couple more, so that I can have a week's worth of gospel meeting lessons that would all go together. We're not going to do that now. But the last three I wanted to look at tonight. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. And instead of looking at verse 16, which we'll look at in just a second, I want to look at verse 15. So before Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to the Jews first and also to the Greek, he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, so for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And so here's the next attitude that we need to have. Being ready or eager. And if you look again at the Greek, and it can be translated either way, but it seems that the Greek is actually a little bit on the ready side, right? So Paul is saying, I'm ready to preach the gospel wherever I am, but I'm ready to go to Rome and preach the gospel to you as well. We looked at verse 16 this morning. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And again, it is because he is not ashamed that he is ready to go. When I think of being ready, I think about being prepared to do something. If you say, "I'm ready," that means I'm prepared for whatever is coming. I've told this story before, but most of you know that I sing in a quartet. And I've been doing so for, next June, it'll be 20 years. That's a long time with being, for the most part, with the same three guys. It's a long time, right? So we've been doing this for a long time, but in 2002, I think it was, right after just Alana and I had been married, 2002, maybe 2003, but it was early on, we got to sing the national anthem at a Pirates game in front of about 20, maybe 30, in between 20 and 30,000 people. I can't remember the exact number that was there. That was a pretty cool experience. Now, if you know anything about Brad, which he drives a lot when we go places, he is never on time. Sometimes he listens to these online and he says, "Hey, I've heard you talk about me, so sorry, Brad, if you're listening to this, I'm calling you out." He's very rarely on time for anything. But that day, I was ready nearly an hour before he got there. I was prepared, meaning I had my shoes on. I was outside, sitting on the porch waiting because I was so excited. I don't even like the Pirates. I was so excited to go and sing the national anthem in a Major League Baseball park that I was ready with my shoes on, the bag that I had with me, the clothes that I was going to change into. I was ready to go. That's Paul's address to the Roman brethren here. I'm ready, right? I'm prepared to preach the gospel to you. I'm eager. I'm ready to go right now. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, within the armor of God, starting in verse 13. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Notice, "having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God." So within this preparation or part of our armor is shodding our feet, putting our shoes on, and being ready, being prepared, so that when people bring things to us, when people bring questions to us, we are ready to answer those questions. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, very similar to that, Paul tells Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." How many times have we heard someone take a verse and use it way out of context? They're not using God's word accurately. And again, I don't want to be a downer on some of the athletes that try to mention God, right? That's a good thing. But when the reporter says, "How did you make that catch?" And he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We've taken that verse a little bit out of its context, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Right? So we've all probably heard or seen people that take verses and use them, but use them out of its context because they're not handling the Word of God, the Word of truth. They're not handling it accurately. And what Paul is telling Timothy to do is be ready, not just be ready to say anything, but be ready to accurately handle those verses. Be ready to accurately handle what God has presented to you, what God has given to you in His Word. And that's going to take a little bit of study. It's going to take a little bit of time. But when Paul says he's ready, I believe that we also, and he certainly was, we also need to be ready or prepared to die. It's not something that we like to talk about. But it was something that Paul was not only ready, but eager to do as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of the last things really that Paul is writing in his life. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6, he tells Timothy, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." He's not just leaving an area, he's getting ready to die. And he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul was ready to die because he was prepared to die. He had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. And in doing that, he had kept the faith. And we need to be ready to do that as well. One of the other items that Paul is a good example for us in, that attitude that we can have in carrying on in the new year, is forgetting the past. Look with me at Philippians chapter 3, what Paul writes to the Philippian brethren. Starting in verse 12 of Philippians 3, "Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul, I'm sure, had a lot of things in his life that he just simply wanted to forget. He says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Think about what, you know, some of the things we talked about this morning, the beatings that he went through, the shipwreck, the time that he spent a night and a day in the deep, the prison time, the times that he had been in prison, and all for doing what God wanted him to do. I'm sure that there were those times where he said, you know what, let's just move forward. But I believe it was especially all the stuff that happened before he became a Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle." And he gives the reason, "because I persecuted the church of God." In other places, Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. And I've always told people that would tell me, you know, well, if I came into the building, Tony, the roof would fall in. Oh, no. If I can make it in and it didn't fall in, it's not going to fall in just because you walked in. It didn't fall when Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those roofs didn't fall in. Here's the chief of all sinners, a person that was murdering Christians and putting Christians in prison. And so I'm sure that Paul wanted to forget his past life. I'm sure that he wanted to leave those things in the past and reach forward, move forward. But how many times have we allowed those mistakes that we've made to cause us a hindrance in moving forward? Again, I talk about sports all the time. But when I was a coach, you can see it in a kid's eye. When he misses a couple of shots or when he makes a couple of mistakes, and you see him thinking about it the next time he has the ball, he's going to be no good for the rest of the game. If he can't forget it, the kid that you want is the kid that can make a mistake and you don't see a difference in him the next time he has the ball. He'll do the same thing again. You hear announcers talk about it all the time. He has no conscience. Now, we need to have a conscience, but when it's a sports thing, sometimes consciences aren't very good. Forget it. It happened, yes. It's going to be on your stat line, yes. But it's gone now. We can only do what's in front of us. And how many times have we had sin in our lives that have just kept hold of us and slowed us down to the point that we don't think we can do anything good? We'll never do enough good works to earn our salvation, to earn our way into heaven. But that's okay, because Jesus said he can take care of those sins. But we need to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. Jesus had the same message for us. in Luke 9, starting in verse 57. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, first permit me to go and bury my father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And this seems to be what Paul was able to do. Paul was able to take those things that were behind and leave them behind and focus on the things that are in front of him. Jesus says you're not fit for the kingdom if you can't move forward from anything, right? From past mistakes maybe that you have made, or from the past where people have hurt you, or maybe a past life that you've lived. If you can't move past those things, if you always want to go back to those things, Jesus even tells us, if you put your hand to the plow and you said, I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, but you keep reaching back, you keep even looking back, he said, you're not fit, because the person who is fit is going to leave those things behind them and move forward from this point. And that can certainly be difficult to do, but it is also possible. We see Paul, the example of Paul in getting through those things. Now, I want to put a little asterisk here and say we don't forget those things to forget them, right? It's not about, okay, they didn't happen. Those things never happen. Well, they happen, and certainly we can learn from those things. Certainly we don't want to make those mistakes again. And so it's not just about forgetting to forget. There may be consequences to a sin that you have, and yes, you can move forward from that, but the consequences is going to stay. But notice why he said he forgot. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. It's not that we're literally going to forget that those things are back there. No, we can learn from those things. Just don't let them hold you back. Don't let them hold you down. Reach forward to what's ahead of you in Christ. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting in verse 3. Jesus gives us another great example here. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say? They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone, and the woman, where she was, in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more. He didn't say, go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. No one has condemned you. He said, you know that what you did was wrong. They also had sin in their lives. But he said, I want you to move from this point. Go from this point and move on and don't commit those sins anymore. He wasn't just giving her a free pass to say, you can do whatever you want. He said, go and don't do that anymore. Because he wasn't there at that point, at that moment in time, to condemn her for anything. He was there for her salvation. He was there to give her an avenue that she could be forgiven for those things. The last thing that I want to look at, and we've already mentioned it a little bit this evening, but in Philippians chapter 4, and verse 13. Paul gives us the attitude of us being strengthened in the Lord. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was a great confidence that Paul had in Christ. But what does he mean when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Well, sometimes I think we need to look at what things don't mean first. I will say that this does not mean that I can catch a ball if somebody throws it to me, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It does not mean I can get that promotion at work, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not trying to lessen the verse, but it doesn't mean these things. It doesn't mean that I can have anything I want. $1 million is going to fall from the sky because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't mean those things. Well, what does it mean? What is Paul trying to say? Well, it takes us going back and looking at the whole context of what he's talking about here. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and starting in verse 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my afflictions. What does it mean when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? He's telling us I can be content with whatever I have. Whatever the Lord provides for me, right, that we talked about this morning, if I have food and clothing, I can be content with that. Paul said, I learned how to live in poverty, and I learned how to live in abundance. Now, I'm sure if you would sit Paul down and say, Paul, which one would you prefer, though? He would say, abundance. It's a lot better to live in abundance. But the point is, he learned to live either way. He said, I've had a lot. There are times when God has given me a lot, and I've learned how to live that way. Which means it's not just about having stuff. He knew what to do with it. I'm certain that Paul was willing and able to give things to others when they were in need, when he had an abundance. He said, I learned to live in abundance. Sometimes I think we think, if I just had X amount of dollars, you wouldn't have to learn anything, right? You could just live however you wanted. But Paul said, I learned how to live when I had an abundance. And I learned how to live when I was in lack, when I was in need, when I was in poverty. So I know both sides. And what he's trying to tell us when he says, I can do all things through Christ, is I can be content. Whatever circumstance God gives me, I can be content in that circumstance. Certainly we would look at that and say, you know what? Abundance would be better. I would rather have abundance, but we need to know how to live either way and not put our trust in the things God gives us, but put our trust in God who gives us all things. For 2 weeks, we've discussed, and I know that's probably really small because there's going to be a long list of things that go here, but for 2 weeks, we've looked and discussed at some attitudes that we need to have and things that we can take with us for the next year. Number one, we need to be willing and able and ready to search the Scriptures daily. That's what Paul said the Bereans did. They searched the Scriptures each and every day to find out whether the things they were being told were right or not. I encourage you to do that. Not just here, but at home, on your own, with your family, read God's Word. We were taught the example of receiving the Word. It's not just about reading it, right? We have to accept it. When we look at something and say, well, I'm not doing that, but God's Word is telling me to do it. We've read it. Are we going to receive it? Are we going to accept it? And then put that into practice. And all of those things are going to be easier if we can do as the Macedonians did and first give yourself to God. God, whatever you want from me, that's what I'm willing to do. And put ourselves out there. And because they did that, they were able to give above and beyond even what they had. Then we looked at some Old Testament examples like Isaiah. Here am I, send me. I'm willing to do it. God, if no one else will go, send me. Here I am, send me. And let's have that attitude. And if we all have that attitude, then there's going to be plenty of help. Can we trust Him the way that Job did? Even if He kills me, even if God Himself decides to kill me, Job says, I'll put my trust in Him that this is what God wants from me. And can we serve Him in the way that Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whether anyone else follows me or not, that's what we are going to do. And then we looked this morning at Paul's spend and be spent. Are we going to give monetarily? Are we going to give of ourselves and wear ourselves out for God this year? Are we going to have the attitude of not being ashamed of God's Word the way that Paul was and go out and preach and teach? Just like we talked about this morning, if we enjoy a movie, we're going to tell people about it. You've got to watch this movie. If we enjoy a meal, you've got to go to this restaurant. If God's Word has pulled us from sin, has pulled us from darkness and translated us into light, we're going to tell people about that. Don't be ashamed about that. And don't be afraid to declare the whole word to them. And finally, we look tonight that we need to be ready. Right? We need to be ready, prepared to teach and preach the gospel. We need to forget the things that were in our past. Forget the past and reach forward to the things that are ahead. And finally, be strengthened in the Lord that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live in any circumstance that God puts me in, and I can be a faithful child of God. The question for us tonight is, how do we want to begin the new year? How do we want to start the year off? How do these attitudes that we've looked at, how do they apply to me? Don't walk out and say, oh, Tony, those were really good for a couple of people that were here tonight. Those were for you. Those were for me. How do we put them to use, though? And what do you need from the Lord tonight? If you're here and you're not a child of God, you have time and opportunity to become one, to be buried with Him in baptism. All things remain ready. You can be buried with your Lord in baptism tonight, have your sins washed away, and leave this place with a new beginning, where it might be easier to forget those things that were behind and reach forward to the things ahead. If you're here and you are a child of God, but yet maybe have fallen in some way, have gone back into the world, back into the life of sin, you have time and opportunity to make that right with your God tonight. If you're here and subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.